Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Final hour of the program tonight, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Hey,
live from the Geico Studios. As we get set for a weekend of turkey, I'm actually seeing Mike Harmon all over the internet tonight. People actually buying Popeye's turkey or Popeye's chicken, like frozen, to make on Thanksgiving. That you can buy a frozen Popeye's turkey and frozen Popeye's chicken to make for Thanksgiving.
I could get on board that with all the special spices and everything else. That's not a bad way to go.
It's Cajun style. It's hand-rubbed. It's got the seasonings in it. It's pre-cooked. All you got to do is reheat it. It's like the easiest turkey to make.
As long as it's hand-rubbed, it's all good. Because I need that extra special touch if I'm going to buy a frozen bird from somebody else. But that's not bad. $40.
Yeah.
I'd be curious as to how big that is. But that's not bad at all. They've teamed up with something called the Jerky Special. How about that? So it's 8 pieces of fried chicken aside and biscuits, and it comes inside a plastic turkey. I dig it. I could get on board that. That's my kind of meal. Because you know me, I am a big fan of the fowl.
Yeah, it comes vacuum sealed and frozen. It's like the easiest thing to make. I mean,
that's not a bad way to go.
That's the thing is, growing up was always turkey. You know, that's why I love technological advancements and why I'm glad I'm living now than any other time. Well, obviously, because, you know, it's now as opposed to like when I wasn't living, is that you just think about growing up like the turkey, like your mom or your dad would say, it's Monday. I got to start the turkey. But Thanksgiving's on Thursday. Yeah, no. We got to make sure we thaw it and defrost it and everything else. No, we got to get it ready now because it's got to cook for approximately 86 hours. I got to get this thing in the oven Tuesday morning if we want to eat Thursday for 3 o'clock. And that's what you did with turkey. And that was the way it was for so long. And then fried turkey became a big thing right around 2000, where people would have these big concoctions outside their house in the backyard. It looked like an American Ninja Warrior course where, okay, well, the line goes along here and you drop the turkey down and we can't be too close to it. So we drop it in the big pot and the turkey stays here and we flash fry it and we look at it. And now you're at the point where, yeah, you want Popeye's turkey? Sure. It's easy. You just buy it. It's already pre-cooked. Just put it in. Yeah, just put it in a couple hours before. It'll be ready to go and look great. The advancements in turkey have just been phenomenal over the course of the past 10, 15 years. I mean, really, it really has jumped. It's taken a huge jump from where it used to be.
Well, I'm just going to throw this out here. It's also a matter of, you know, how you prepared your bird. You know, growing up, Mom and grandma and everybody, they had their way. Eventually, we started drifting into where other meats and you'd have ham would kind of shuffle in, but, you know, sometimes double up between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
We're going to shuffle in some ham. Is that what your mom said?
So you'd have some ham too.
We're going to shuffle in some ham.
Because people had to have choices. Family was all about choices. You went to grandma and grandpa's. Grandpa was always like, all right, it's time for ice cream. You got two choices. And it would be whatever two he decided to buy that week. So it was like, hey, what's grandpa got in the freezer? So like Thanksgiving
was the same thing. Can I have a leg or a thigh? No. We're going to shuffle some ham.
No. There was always a turkey. It was just a question of whether in a given year maybe something else showed up.
Wait, but, I took a bite out of this turkey. It's ham. It's turkey. It's turkey skin over ham. Yeah, we shuffled the ham in for you.
Look,
so
man,
hopefully you like it.
If you do let stuff sit in brine long enough and smoke it, maybe it takes on some of the same characteristics. But for me, I was watching on Twitter today, and I actually commented on it as well, and you responded to mine. So we should bring this to the nationwide audience. We appreciate you wherever you are. If you're traveling by car, by sea, by plane, whatever, be safe, be careful, look out for yourselves and your family and others, and we appreciate you making us part of your Thanksgiving week. The slander against Thanksgiving dinners in general just irked me. you know, the number of people, oh, I'm glad I don't have to do this because we don't have to do this abomination of a turkey and all that other stuff, spending our day cooking. It's like, you have no soul. Okay, if you're really raging against that, then, you know, you got to grapple with the past, give it a hug, and let it go. So either learn how to cook or glom onto a group where someone does. And all you got to do is bring a nice bottle of wine or something else. Because to me, that's soulful, man. That's the connectivity of it. The family stories and yelling at each other is part of it. But some turkey, all the different sides, and we certainly have a wide array of sides that we make in the Harmon household. And it's just good for the smiles and the soul. And the right seasoning certainly comes in handy. Brining the bird, showing it the extra care. Yeah, there's some time involved, but you know what? Anything worth having requires a little bit of time and work, you lazy sons of... Anyway.
Wow, look at you. You got all angry there. This is Thanksgiving week, man. You're supposed to be having fun and eating turkey. And remember when this happened, and now I'm getting angry. You're like the Incredible
Hulk. No. It's all about positivity. I'm just looking at all these Twitter and Instagram stories of people so angry about whatever they didn't get in their childhood. And I agree. I think it was Michael Lee and Torrey Smith, former NFL receiver, like, man, they clearly as a kid, you didn't have anybody around that could cook well. And that's my feeling, is that you didn't have anybody that was letting you gluttonize while you sat and watched TV and watched the latest iteration of the Detroit Lions, right? So, you know, get past that angst. Get past that anger. And get yourself a turkey or whatever the hell they're calling
that
thing. And chill.
And shuffle in some ham.
Shuffle in some ham where you can. Assorted meats. Maybe you go to a Mediterranean place down the road and you get yourself some kebabs mixed in. Whatever the case is, here's a gyro sandwich. Whatever it is, just find some happiness. Damn it. This year's been too bleeping hard. Don't go getting all negative about what people eat for their Thanksgiving dinners.
Just shuffle in some ham and you'll solve all your problems.
Well, you know what? It doesn't hurt. Now, if you have too much sodium, you start getting a little swelling under the eyes and it becomes a problem. So you want to make sure you combat that. But otherwise, yeah, just make sure to hydrate, baby. That's all.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Shuffle in Some Ham on Twitter. You have to change Swollen Dome to Shuffle in Some Ham now. So, listen, we're waiting to figure out what the slate of NFL games are going to look like on Thanksgiving. Maybe we have Ravens Steelers. Maybe we don't. COVID-19 is raging with Baltimore. And so right now the game is on, but another day of positive tests. You're talking about the day before. We may wind up seeing a postponement. But this conversation is not about that, because if we get the game on Thursday, the spotlight is going to be clearly on Lamar Jackson, because he has gotten all the blame the last couple of weeks for, look at the Ravens, Lamar Jackson can't come from behind, he can't create like he did last year, it's all Lamar Jackson's fault. It is not Lamar Jackson's fault. All right, I'll tell you, it's the fashionable thing to criticize Lamar Jackson, but it ain't his fault. First of all, a couple weeks ago, when we first talked about Lamar Jackson, you have to realize that if you are losing to good teams, no matter who you're playing against, this is not on the quarterback. Because if the quarterback can do it against almost everybody, and teams are finding a way to out-scheme you, that's on coaching to figure out a way to get things done. This is where, okay, this team is doing this to stop us from Lamar. We have to figure this out. If it was one team, and it was, hey, they just have Lamar Jackson's number, look, I get it. It's all right, you know, that's like the Bucs and the Saints. No matter what you do, it's a bad matchup for the Buccaneers against the Saints. But when every team you play that's good finds a way to do it, there's a way around this. And you're just not finding the way as the coaching staff, and that's on John Harbaugh. But mainly, the Ravens have no problems that actually having good skill position players wouldn't solve. All right, no matter who you are in the NFL, no matter what kind of quarterback you are, as great as you are, all great quarterbacks have what in common? They have great playmakers at some point. Okay, Buffalo Bills, right? Josh Allen, they went out and got him Stephon Diggs. Now the guy's an MVP candidate. Ben Roethlisberger has had MVP players playing alongside him his entire career, whether it's Le'Veon Bell, whether it's Antonio Brown, Hines Ward, whoever it was. Phillip Rivers had a cachet of great receivers with the San Diego and LA Chargers for his entire career. Patrick Mahomes has Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the NFL. Tyreek Hill, most dangerous wide receiver. We're going to go out and get Le'Veon Bell and try to mix him in. Everybody has great players. All the great quarterbacks. What about Aaron Rodgers? He's got Devontae Adams, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He's got him. Everybody has had someone. Drew Brees has had Michael Thomas. All right, this is just the way it goes. Russell Wilson has DK Metcalf. He had Doug Baldwin. This is how it goes. Kyler Murray has DeAndre Hopkins. This is how it goes. Who does Lamar Jackson have? He's got nobody. He's got a bunch of Jags, right? That's what. Yeah. Thank you, Mike Mayock, and thank you, Lee Mayock, for this phrase. He's just a bunch of Jags. There's nobody that you really worry about. J.K. Dobbins is a nice running back. Are you worried about stopping him? You're not, right? You're not because he's not an end-all, be-all running back. Who do you have at wide receiver? Right? Hollywood Brown is a great nickname. He's a Jag. He's just a guy. Willie Snead, he's been in the league a while. He's just a guy. You're dusting off Dez Bryant, who hasn't played in the league in 3 years. All the great quarterbacks have at least one great playmaker. It's what helps make them great. The quarterback that can make it work with just anyone is incredibly rare. Joe Montana had Jerry Rice, as great as he was. Steve Young had Jerry Rice, as great as he was. Peyton Manning had Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne. All the great quarterbacks had people, right? Dan Marino had Mark Clayton, Mark Duper. They had great players. This is how you do it. Lamar Jackson has none. He has absolutely none. So how much easier is it for a defense when they say, who do we got to stop? We'll stop Lamar Jackson. Do we have to worry about coverages? Nope. Why? Because we can cover all these guys. They don't have anybody. And I don't get how the Ravens didn't go out this past offseason saying, we got a quarterback that everybody on our team loves. He is a great leader. He says the right things all the time. He is someone people should want to flock to play with. And still, the Ravens couldn't get anybody. They couldn't get all in on Antonio Brown. They couldn't get in on anybody to bring in to say, hey, come here because we need this. This is why the Ravens are struggling. They have no problems that a couple of good playmakers wouldn't solve, because that takes the pressure off of Lamar Jackson and doesn't allow defenses to say, we have 11 guys stopping one guy. And that's what we're going to do. This is why the Ravens are struggling. It's not Lamar Jackson's fault. He's got nobody around him.
Yeah, I give him a percentage of the blame, right? He's got to adjust and be a bit better and more precise with his throws. But to your point, it goes a lot to the building and construction of this team, the lack of evolution in those would-be playmakers. Look, when I pick them to go and make it a representation out of the AFC North in the Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, there is a Tampa Bay, but whatever, in Tampa, that the idea they'd have the three-headed running attack between Gus Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, Lamar obviously doing his thing, but that Boykin and Marquise Brown would become more complete wide receivers. They haven't. You lose Nick Boyle and Stanley on the offensive line. Yeah, Boyle's a tight end, but you're not getting that push that you've come to expect from this squad. And your only real threat is Edwards running down the seam. And with those injuries on the line that I mentioned, well, you know what? He's got to block some more than he would have normally. So you've really hamstrung yourself in that regard. So from a play calling, much like what we were talking about with Tampa a little bit earlier in the show of, all right, you know you got personnel. How do you free them up? Right? You got a lot of speed between Boykin and Marquise Brown. You got a lot of speed. How do you scheme them open? How do you find a little bit of rhythm off play action? This goes for both Baltimore and Tampa. How do you find a little bit of rhythm to where you can get Lamar able to throw into more comfortable spaces? And as you mentioned, yes, this goes against the better defenses as well. And on Thursday night, if you don't have Dobbins and Ingram, as much as I love Gus the Bus, you don't have that second sledgehammer. You don't have that second piece in the arsenal in a, well, game of desperation, to call it what it is at this point, going up against the undefeated Steelers as your playoff life hangs in the balance. But the roster construction, Harbaugh adapting and changing up coaching style and scheme, you've got to realize you have a problem, and it's not all on number eight's back. He hasn't been great, but certainly not the only problem you're facing right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Geico Studios, where 15 minutes can save you 15% or more in car insurance. More info, please visit geico.com. So a little bit of hot take theater coming your way here for a second. It's kind of been fun here, a little bit of exercise for us, and especially because I can't wait to get to an email or a mean tweet that was sent to me. I can't wait to get to this. This is so much fun. Look, the last 24 hours we've spent talking about what's going to happen. Now, one of the big surprises on Sunday was how well Taysom Hill played at quarterback for the Saints, right? He was dynamic. He moved the team up and down the field. He threw for 250 yards and he ran for 50 yards and two touchdowns. It was a debut I did not see happening, right? I did not see that coming because Taysom Hill, I thought it would be a little bit of time to get used to the offense. He's only thrown 18 passes his entire NFL career, but he starts the whole game. He throws 23. He plays well. He played really well. He had command of the offense. It's, hey, Sean Payton is right with exactly what he said, saying, hey, we're going with Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston's only going to play in an emergency-type situation. Taysom Hill was really good. And the main thing Taysom Hill brings is, as I said, a dynamic element to this offense. Drew Brees at this point, as great as he has been, you have to shunt aside for a second the image of Drew Brees as being this guy that's just a phenomenal quarterback. Look, the guy's first ballot Hall of Famer, he's going. At this point, Drew Brees is kind of like, and we talked about this with Jason Lockenfora, he's kind of like an elite game manager at this point. All right, that's what he does. They don't throw the football downfield anymore. There's no more, hey, quick strikes from Drew Brees with a quick 6 points on the board. They're scoring 45 points a game. Drew Brees is not that guy. The offense is a little bit more plodding. It's a little bit more pedestrian, and Brees doesn't make mistakes. He's never thrown a lot of picks, and he's doing enough, but he's kind of an elite game manager. Taysom Hill has played, you know, this first start was, whoa, it's a whole new world here in New Orleans. If Taysom Hill has a couple more games like this, because now Drew Brees might be able to come back in three games, although every day there's more broken ribs they're finding. First it was 3 broken ribs, then it was 8 broken ribs, then it was 11 broken ribs.
Yeah, he's got more ribs than any man in human history.
Apparently his rib cage doesn't hit 7, right? 7 ribs? With 7? It does 8 ribs? How many ribs do we have? 7? 8? We have 8 ribs, right? 7 ribs. 7 ribs. 7 on each side.
Is it 14?
Yeah. 7. I think it's 7 ribs. Right. 7 ribs, right? 7 ribs. I don't know. I haven't really felt my ribs. Let me see. 1, 2.
Well, you got to get past the meat.
4, 5. I feel like Mike Francesa. I'm counting this up. So the more broken ribs that he has, the
actually,
earlier he's coming
24
back from injury.
Total. 24 on each total. Side, buddy.
Yeah. We got 12?
Yeah.
No, but there's big ribs and there are smaller ribs, right? Yeah. That's what it is?
Yeah. But there are genetic anomalies where you could have too many or too few.
Look, Matt Harvey had a rib removed so he could continue his MLB career, although he hasn't.
Yeah, supernumerary is what you call too many.
Or, okay.
Agenesis is when you have too few.
I don't know that that's how you pronounce it, but I'll go with it.
I'll go with it. Or agenesis. I don't know. Or agenesis.
It sounds like you're giving a Twitter address. It's @Genesis, @SegaGenesis.
Exactly.
It's in the game. The earlier he keeps talking about coming back, this just smells of Brees knows that the longer that Taysom Hill plays and the better he plays, he brings an element to the team that Drew Brees doesn't anymore. Look, there's a reason why Taysom Hill was anointed. He's the next quarterback for us, right? They're not going to downgrade. They don't want to downgrade away from Drew Brees saying, well, we're going to give this to Taysom Hill because he's been a loyal guy for the past few years, always saying the right things. No, they want to go to somebody who's going to be a big playmaker. And because you see Drew Brees play for so long, they go, Drew Brees is always great. Drew Brees is not always great. Like I said, elite game manager. Two more games, if Taysom Hill has games like this with Lamar Jackson-type stat lines, 250 yards through the air, 50 yards rushing, and 2 touchdowns, Taysom Hill has to stay the starter for the Saints. It's going to be a really tough decision for Sean Payton because of the loyalty with Drew Brees and what he's meant for the team. But in the end, you're trying to win. And what's going to make the team better is what you have to do. It'll be hard, and everybody's going to want to handle it the right way, and Drew Brees will want to handle it the right way, and so will Taysom Hill, and so will Sean Payton. But a couple more games like this, and Hill's got to stay the quarterback as long as he plays like this. And Drew Brees is going to get flaccoed. right? Because this is exactly what happened to Joe Flacco when you talk about Lamar Jackson, right? What happened to open the door for Lamar Jackson? It was supposed to be Joe Flacco's job, and Lamar was going to get a series here and there, and they were going to bring him in slowly. Well, Joe Flacco got hurt. Lamar Jackson came in and took the job right away. And you could tell, boy, he's a terrific player. Lamar Jackson's keeping this job. But the loyalty to Joe Flacco was a really big deal. Look, they had won the Super Bowl together. It was a difficult thing for John Harbaugh, but he made the tough decision saying, sorry, Joe, but I like being a head coach, and I know that if I go to Lamar Jackson, hey, I can stay the head coach and things are going to be great. And Lamar Jackson turns into an MVP, and now he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He had to choose what was best for the team, but what happened? Joe Flacco stayed out for a while. His injury, he was still coming back, so Flacco was able to save face throughout the entire time. There wasn't, oh my goodness, Joe Flacco's not getting his job back, because this is what it would be in New Orleans. Wait, Drew Brees is not getting his job back? It will be Drew Brees is still healing, still healing, still healing, and as long as Taysom Hill is playing well, he's got to keep the job, because he simply would be, if again, two more weeks like this, and there's proof saying this is what this guy can do on a regular basis, and this is what's going to make us the most dangerous team. It is a free-for-all right now in the NFC. It's an absolute free-for-all, and the Saints can easily be at the top and have whatever home field advantage means all the way through. They can easily have that. They're a red-hot team, and it was nothing to go to Taysom Hill, and now it's a different type of skill set that he brings. Again, two more. That's exactly how it's going to go. And then if Taysom Hill falters, hey, guess what? Drew Brees is magically going to be healthy, and he'll be ready to play week 15, week 16, week 17, whatever it is. But the more time goes on, that's how this thing is going to go. He's going to be Flaccoed, and he's going to sit out as long as Taysom Hill is playing well.
You called him getting Flaccoed.
Flaccoed.
I agree wholeheartedly, though. 18 of 23 through the air. Couple of misses, right? A would-be interception. Not that most quarterbacks don't have those, but you amplify his because you're looking for the warts. You're looking for the problems, particularly if you were really bullish on Jameis Winston quarterbacking. I just thought he would. I didn't care either way. I've got no dog in the fight. I'd be curious to watch Jameis winging it around, much like we talked about yesterday with those playmakers in Tampa. How great would it be? Bruce Arians saying, hey, those plays are open in practice, so we got to figure out why there's a problem here. But when we look at maybe there's a whole other thing, and Tom's figured out your guys because he sees them every day. But when we look at New Orleans, you have such a different element that comes in with what we'd seen with Hill as a runner and split wide and whatever at times as a receiver, but certainly with the running game, the last 4 weeks, including this one as a starter, you're talking about having run the ball 30 times, 5, 7, 8, 10 carries. Drew Brees for the year, you're barely getting into double digits. You're looking at 15 carries, and he's got 1 yard. So, like, that's not an element, right? If he's got a run, he's scrambling for his life and just trying to dive back towards the line of scrimmage. With this guy, it's legitimately part of your offense, part of what defenses have to scheme for. And now that he showed he can deliver a ball downfield, sure, there were a couple of ducks and odd balls there. You just go, wow, okay, they got away with one there. You also had the ball whizzing through Mike Thomas's hands because he's so used to it coming softly from Drew Brees, like a pillow coming right into his hands. Nope.
It's like the
here,
pillow
wow,
pasta
that had some
I
heat on
about.
It.
Yeah, it just falls right. I don't even have to catch it. It just nestles itself into my jersey.
Yeah, with this, it was like, whoa, this guy's got some giddy up. And that's a problem a little bit on the short passes and in the flat that he'll have to adjust a little bit, right? Don't overthrow it or overthink it and get in your own head and just deliver the ball out and not bounce it to your would-be receiver. I'd be curious to see what the plan is and how they utilize Alvin Kamara the next couple of weeks, because I'm sure fantasy owners, hey, they got their touchdown, but overall we're wringing their hands at his lack of involvement in the game plan. But from what we saw, it's a great first step. Tell me you weren't at the edge of your seat waiting to see what the next play call from Sean Payton was going to be. They've added a different element to their offense, making them dangerous. And as you saw also, he's got the arm to put the ball downfield more so than Drew Brees did. Now, again, not denigrating a long, illustrious, and glorious career that Drew Brees has had, but we've chronicled it from week one here as to where we're at in terms of trying to get the big strike play downfield. Those don't happen as frequently. Well, maybe now they do. especially if you've got to sell out to try to make sure he doesn't find a gap and gash you on the ground. So, yeah, it's Taysom Hill's loyalty, et cetera. You're trying to put up a Super Bowl title in 2021. You can't be looking back to the past and near misses and the glory of the one you did win. That picture of Drew Brees with his kid is great. That kid can now carry Drew Brees around. He's old enough. So they'll do that should they get a victory and keep the train rolling here with Taysom Hill.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Just really quick, I want to pass because this is just really, really funny. So, you know, I talked about Taysom Hill. You know, we talked about this a couple of times in the show now. And this guy hits me back on Twitter calling me a goober a couple of times saying I don't understand quarterbacks and how Taysom Hill, it's one game, and Drew Brees, how great he is. And I see his Twitter handle. I look at it and I go, this guy wrote a book about how Jameis Winston was on the path for the Hall of Fame his first 4 years in the NFL. Now, well, apparently it's a pretty decent book and people read it and everything, but I'm like, okay, so you're calling me a goober and telling me I don't understand quarterbacks. You wrote a book about Jameis Winston's going to be going to the Hall of Fame. It is for, I mean, really? I mean, seriously?
Well, there's still a chance. No, and look, I appreciate that. God. Like, that's a look, man, you got to live with the guy, die by the guy. And maybe getting some hot takery will sell a couple copies of the book this holiday season. But the reality is, you know, we can only talk about the here and now. Like, there'll be plenty of time to do a, hey, remember Jameis Winston's highs and lows and when we were on air and we had breaking news from the student union at, you know, 9 p.m. Pacific time of standing up on a table and screaming stuff. Yeah, I mean, those are some of the highlights of the Jameis Winston we've had for the last 7 years. Do I like the talent? Would I love to see him fling it around? Sure I would. But, yeah, right now going and name-calling because you watched a game and you said, hey, this could work. Get over yourself.
I thought that was great. I was like, okay,
really? Welcome to the show, though. Thanks, though.
And he wants to come on the show. He wants to insult me and then say, oh, but I'll come on the show. Oh, will you? Oh, okay, great. Yes, because that's how
it
works.
That's
exactly how it works.
No, it's good. I like that.
Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Now, I need to apologize because I told you a week ago, watch. Maybe it's a double apology. I said, watch. The Celtics are going to make a big move. They're going to be the team to make big moves in free agency. They have the money to get it done. They have the contracts of Gordon Hayward and Kemba Walker. And then Gordon Hayward decided to opt out of the final year. I said, okay, so that's not going to happen. All right, now I got to change. And the Knicks look poised. This is in the middle of the Russell Westbrook, the Victor Oladipo. And I said, this is the Knicks. Look, the backsliding has stopped, right? Hiring Tom Thibodeau. They have their front office all set. Leon Rose is calling the shots now. There's very few guys as well-connected in the NBA as Leon Rose. All right, they've stopped the backsliding. Here we go. And they're going to do something here. And all the Knicks have done is nothing, is sign a bunch of guys to one-year deals. They still have to spend $7 more million to get to the floor. And all they're doing is signing players like Austin Rivers and Nerlens Noel. What are you doing? They're going to be the worst team in the NBA next year. But here's what the Knicks do that I love. They always say, just wait, though. We're going to have so much money to spend next year. No. You've done that. For 8 years, you've told me, we have all kinds of money. Nobody comes to the Knicks. You have to make it look good. So then people will come to the Knicks. This means overpaying for guys. So it makes it look like, well, if Gordon Hayward went to the Knicks, well, it's got to be okay. If Russell Westbrook went to the Knicks, it's got to be okay. These are star-type players. Nobody's just going to show up there. No one wants to be the first guy. This is how you do free agency. When guys like Oladipo or John Wall or Gordon Hayward become available, this is how you get them. Because just to sit here and say we got a pile of money, how many years have the Knicks had a pile of money? For the last 10 years, every year's been a pile of money, and they can't get anybody to come to New York because no one's going to be that first guy to say, let's go team up there. Nobody wants to go. So this is how you do it. Well, if Westbrook was here and Hayward was here or Oladipo and John Wall were there, all right, maybe it's okay. That's how you do it. This is how you get free agents. Free agency is not just, hey, we have the big bonanza summer of 2021, and there's all kinds of players out there. It was like that 2 years ago. You got nobody. Kevin Durant said no. Kyrie Irving said no. Everybody said no. LeBron James said no. Everybody said no, and you were sitting around saying, all right, we'll give Julius Randle money. I've seen this movie with the Knicks so many times. They're not going to get – you have to be more aggressive, and you have to grab people by the lapels and say, this is good to come here now. Look, we're bringing you here. Russell Westbrook, run things, and at least you have relevancy. And maybe you get one guy that wants to go play with Russell Westbrook, but if not, you at least have star players playing in New York, and it's okay. The Knicks they're never going to not be the Knicks. I feel bad. I feel like I defrauded America with that opinion about the New York Knicks. The Knicks are always going to nick, right? And that's exactly what they do. And by signing these guys, they're going to be the worst. But we're going to get lucky in the lottery. Yes, yes. Because what the whole Knicks strategy is hey, this year sucks, but maybe we get lucky next year. I mean, that's not a philosophy, but this is what the Knicks do.
Well, it's not a winning philosophy, but at least they're consistent. Now, the big story that's floating around still is that Anthony Davis hasn't re-signed with the Lakers, part of it being that it's an elaborate ploy to figure out how to get Giannis to the Lakers a year from now. So, Knicks show. Is really all I was saying in terms of keeping your money freed up and ready to go. That chip ain't even going to look your way, most likely.
Oh, my God.
West Coast.
We're going to win 20 games again. All it is, my teams are tanking. Every team, we're tanking.
I know, buddy. It hurts, buddy.
It's tough, buddy. It's difficult. Coming up next, we have two sports that are in the teeth of dealing with COVID right now. College football and college basketball. It doesn't look great for both of them, but I'll tell you what. Maybe I'm being Perry positive, but one sport I think is going to have a really big rest of the season moving on, and it's not the sport you think. It's coming up next right here. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios, where, you know, listen, it's a very difficult year right now dealing with COVID and sports and what sports are more COVID-friendly to play and what sports aren't. And clearly, college football is going through a thing right now, right? Wisconsin, Minnesota's canceled, ending a 113-year streak. Utah now is going to play Washington this weekend after Arizona State got canceled. It's a very difficult time right now, which is why I say college football needs to expand the playoff to get to 16 teams, and save the college football season. You have Pac-12 teams playing 6 games versus other teams playing 10. Just put more teams in. Every other sport did it. It works. But you're also seeing college basketball start to fall victim to COVID right now as the season's just getting ready to start in the next couple of days. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and already you're seeing teams postpone games and games getting moved. This is different than college football, Mike, because college basketball, this is just the rough start that every sport has had dealing with COVID. All right. The sport, it was a rough start for baseball. They figured it out. It was a rough start for the NFL. They figured it out. Rough start for the NBA. They figured it out. That's what's happening right now. College basketball is way more COVID friendly. You're talking about the smallest roster of all sports, right? You're talking about 12 guys, 15 guys, depending on who's injured and redshirted traveling. It is the smallest roster available. It is easier to make up games. College football, you can't make up games unless everybody's got a bye week. So it's more difficult to do it. But if you have a game on Monday and you have COVID situation, well, we'll make that up in a week or two. We have an open Saturday. We're going to make up this game. You can easily make games up. The college basketball season is going to more resemble the baseball season in that you'll have some times and some stops and some starts, but that's how it's going to go. It's not college football where you're talking about well over 100 people on the team where it's hard to keep everybody around and keep a lid on everything. This is just the rough start, but college basketball will have a pretty smooth season, and we're going to see a pretty good year. Now, maybe we get more, and we see the tournament go to 96 teams just because, hey, so-and-so, a few teams had some games canceled. They only played 25 games instead of 30. Maybe that would be a great thing, right? Get everybody in the tournaments. That's all you want at the end through this college basketball season. Let's get everybody get a chance to win a game in the tournament. So, but that's how this season's going to go. It's not going to be like the college football. It's going to be more like baseball with how it's run. Sunnier days are ahead. It's a rough start right now, but we're going to have a really good season.
Yeah, I think part of it, as you say, is the flexibility, and you got a larger sample size. So if you lose a game here or there, even if it is between a couple of would-be heavyweights, it's not the end of the world. You're still getting probably near to 30 games for most teams, not including any conference tournament action. So long as you don't have a month-long stoppage, right, where you literally can't do anything and you lose a quarter of your season, now we start getting into that territory of, hit the alarms and try to figure it out. But you've got enough time, right? We're talking end of November into the end, beginning of March, middle of March, before we have to really get into conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. That's a lot of space by which to make up games. Everybody's going to go home for 6 weeks, right? Most campuses are clearing now through the end of Christmas and into the new year, at least in most cases. So in theory, you got guys being and women, right? Women's college buckets, where they'll be able to run amok without having to worry about any large gatherings or issues on campus, you know, when you go down that part of the equation as well. So, yeah, you got to get through the early hiccups and the bad press, because here we go again. But just remember all the negativity at the start of Major League Baseball when the Marlins had all their issues. Well, they finished the season and got to the playoffs and beat the Cubs. Had to get that in because it's a holiday week. I need all the positivity I can get. And for college football as well. I mean, how many college football writers did everything they could to stop the games from being played? I mean, there were a lot of guys. I mean, they might as well have been running for office in their local states and maybe become aldermen with some of the stump speeches that they had against the playing of any of these games. And then they were the first to report their recaps after the games were over to talk about the efficiency of someone's offense or great stops by a defense. But it's the same thing here with college buckets. You're going to see the same split, the same divide, and just know that have a plan, make a plan, work the plan, and take the games and navigate as you need to. Look at the Pac-12 in football, right? They gave themselves some flexibility, which is a beautiful thing. And everybody's gotten into the same room to say, all right, the show must go on. And college basketball will be no different.
I'll tell you, both main college sports can really have a great end of year, beginning of next year, expand the playoff in college football, and just stay the course in college basketball. That's really how it's going to go.
Yeah, Syracuse still ain't getting in if they expand the playoffs.
Listen, we're going to be the top five team in the ACC this year. We're going to be pretty good. We can't be any worse than the football team, but we're going to be pretty good, I think. Our Best Of podcast goes up in a few minutes. Download it, check it out, subscribe, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. Happy Thanksgiving. Mr. Harmon, have a wonderful week, and we will talk soon.
Enjoy the break, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Coming up next, Fox.